brings us to a serious point, and that's we need to know the Bible. We need to know what's in the Bible, how to study the Bible, and how to understand the Bible. We're going to look at Acts 2:42 to start out, and it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." See, the first Christian followers were 100% devoted to Christ and to his cause. If we want to bring it in today's vernacular, they are sold out. They're completely committed, and they're ready to make an impact. They were committed to Christ, and they were devoted to his instruction, the instruction in God's word. And that's the most basic necessity for a Christian church to be successful. For us to exist, we have to be committed to hearing, learning, and applying God's word. That's the basic need of every church. In a time of the first church, that meant listening to the apostles and their teachings and reading the scriptures. But also notice the words, "they continued steadfastly." You see, the apostles were faithful in their responsibility to preach and to teach. And the believers were faithful to continue in to learn and keep growing in what was taught. They were convinced that the depth of their devotion to the word would determine their impact. And that's as true today as it was then. Our devotion to the teachings, to the Word of God, determines what impact we'll have on this community around us. We're going to look at a text today that will show us what can happen when people correctly respond to the Word of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. I'm reading from the New James Bible. "Then the brethren immediately set Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." First thing we'll look at is they received the word. It's in verse 11. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness." Now that's in the New King James. In the American Standard and the King James Version, it says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness." So noble of character, what does that mean? Well, originally the word meant well-born and spoke of nobility. But it gradually came to mean that they were open-minded. They were people of generous spirit. They were not prejudiced to what they were going to hear. They weren't hostile or suspicious of others. But those that would give others a fair hearing, fair-minded, is back in the New King James. The Bereans, therefore, were called noble because they listened to the preaching of the gospel with an open heart, with an open mind, as they pursued God and his truth. The people of Berea were more noble because first they received the message. They received the word with readiness or eagerness, we read. There was an openness to the word that was preached to them. They had anticipation. They had an expectancy that God might be speaking specifically to them. So what set them apart was their readiness and receptivity to the Word of God. I believe that they come to listen to the apostles with expectations and appreciation. And I wonder how many of us come to church today with an expectation of God speaking directly to us. I hope we all did. I hope you always come here with an expectation of hearing God. But perhaps coming to church has just become a habit. We don't give much thought to why we're here. We just come to hear the preaching, to attend Sunday school, and then leave. But we need to come into this place with an expectation that God is going to speak to us today. Every Sunday, we need to come with an eagerness of mind, with an openness of heart, ready to hear what God will say to us. If we cultivate these qualities, we'll be in a position to hear when God speaks. When we pray to God, when we pray for Him to speak to us, I hope you have a sense of anticipation and expectation that His word will come alive in your heart. So we'll be like the Bereans, and we'll receive that word with an eagerness and not just a complacency. But here's the problem. Probably everyone here has read the Bible on a regular basis. But then again, maybe there's some here that only open their Bibles on Sunday morning when they come to Sunday school, or open it during church to see what the scriptures are. You know, I read a report that said less than 50% of Christians ever open their Bibles to read it outside of church service. That's not a good number. But it reminds me of a story I heard of a Christian woman who had to do a lot of flying for her work. Now, she didn't like air travel. It made her nervous. So on long flights, she would take her Bible and open her Bible and read her Bible. On one of her flights, she opened her Bible and a man sitting next to her kind of chuckled and smirked when she pulled out her Bible. After a while, he turned to her and said, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" And she said, "Of course I do. It's my Bible." "Well, what about the guy who was swallowed by the whale?" he asked her next. And she replied, "Oh, Jonah, yes, I believe that. It's in the Bible." Still smirking, the man asked her, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale?" The lady replied, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." The man asked sarcastically, "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" To which the lady answered, "Then you can ask him." But I hope we can be like that lady and pull our Bible out when we're concerned, when we're anxious. And we can be devoted to our Bible just like that Christian woman. We can be just like the Christians in the early church. One of the other things that those scriptures tell us they did is they researched the Word. Not only did they first receive the Word, secondly, they researched the Word. They received the Word because they had a ready mind, and they researched the Word because they had a high regard for the truth. Look at the last part of verse 11. It says, "In that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." The Bereans weren't content with the word of man. The reasoning of mere mortals weren't enough for them. They wanted a more sure word. They wanted a "thus saith the Lord." They wanted to be sure about what they were hearing, what they were learning. So it says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether what they were being taught was true or not. They listened to Paul's preaching and received it. We're told they did it daily. But just as the Israelites had to gather manna daily, so is our duty and our privilege to study the Word of God every day. I consider a privilege to have the Bible, the book of God, to read. And we're called on to learn God's Word, to follow God's Word, to be equipped to serve Him. The Bereans were like the man in Psalm 1, verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." You know, stop and think about that. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. I want you to stop and think to yourself, when you read the Bible, do you take delight in it? Or are you just reading it to accomplish your daily reading? Or are you looking forward to the words, to the meaning? I enjoy the Bible. I enjoy comparing different versions of the Bible. I enjoy looking up passages and see where they come from. You see, they pored over the Bible comparing scriptures with scriptures. They evaluated the word they were hearing from the apostles by the absolute counsel of God's word. And that's precisely what we should do. In other words, they were listening to Paul preach, and then they were going on and looking up what he said to see if he was right or if he was wrong. They didn't take his word for it. So what about you? Do you welcome the message like the Bereans did? Do you study it with passion, enthusiasm, zeal, delight, with hunger for more word? See, God gives each of us the Holy Spirit to help interpret the Word of God, to help us understand as we read. And we should start every time we open the Bible with a prayer first, asking God to interpret, to help us understand and guide us where He wants us to go. If we don't do this study, then we're accepting whatever we're told at face value. You're believing what I say is the truth and not moving on. And I encourage you, as I've said many, many times, get in your Bible, examine what I've said, see that it's true. It's your responsibility to make sure I'm not leading you astray, which I would never do on purpose. But I can make a mistake. And I want you to study. I want you to prove out the word that I tell you. I want you to search the scripture daily and see what God tells you. The third thing they did was respond to the word. It says, therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as the men. They received the word because they were ready of mind. They researched the word because they regarded the truth. And thirdly, they responded to the word because they knew it was a direct revelation of God. Notice it says, therefore many believed, many of the Jews believed. It was because of that research that they responded. And it also said, not just a few, it said many. You see, I believe if when you leave here on Sunday morning, you take your Bible and you check the references that I've given you and you look at them in context, you read before, you read after, you see who's talking to who, and check my words and allow the revelation of God to come to you, you'll be blessed. You'll have a deeper understanding of the Word of God. And it'll put your mind and your heart in that position to hear from God. You see, many people want to hear from God before they decide they're going to obey. And that's the next important thing. When you're going to God, when you're researching, when you're reading, when you're praying, do you have it in your heart that you're going to obey God no matter what He says? I know so many people pray, and then they'll decide if they're going to obey or not. When you go to God, you have to be in that position that, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey what you tell me. John 7:17 says, if anyone wills to do his will, that's God's, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. You need discernment to know if what you're hearing is from God. A person must be willing to do God's will in order to have discernment to hear from God. You know, God's will isn't all that difficult to figure out. the more difficult matter is our will and whether we're ready to surrender that to God. You know, I believe I could speak for everyone in this room when I say there's times in our lives when we want to tell God what we want Him to do. What we desire in our heart may not be what God desires for us to accomplish. But we have to decide if we're willing to allow God's will to overcome our will. We need to be like the Bereans. We need to have that ready mind to receive the word. We need to be willing to research the word and have a high regard for the truth. And finally, and probably most importantly, we need to respond to the word because we've received it. And we know it's a revelation from God and want to obey Him. You know, I could say when we pray, we say, I want to hear from God, or I'm not hearing from God. Every time He speaks is a revelation. It reveals something to us, whether it's a command of what He wants us to do, a reassurance for His love, or reassurance we're following the path that He set out before us. Here's another easy way to remember this. We need, first of all, to get the Bible into our heads. Then we need to get it into our hearts. Then we need to make sure it gets lived out through our hands. That's three easy things to remember. Our head to our heart to our hands. And we can't leave any one of the three out. We get the Bible into our head by getting into the Bible. The word resides in our heart when we let it get into us. And that's when we study and we meditate. And it's fleshed out in our daily lives through our hands when we live out what God calls us to do in obedience. Bible isn't just a textbook to be studied. It's what God uses to change hearts and lives. Here's three steps that can help you on this little journey. First, getting it into your head. The best way to get your Bible in your head, of course, is reading it. You got to be exposed to His truth every day. There's many ways to read the Bible now. You got the print. You can get your Bible out. I know people tell me they like to feel the pages. They like to feel the Bible when they read it and turn the pages. And I do too. I like to read my Bible, as you can see. This one's about destroyed now. I need to get another one. But like they say, this is my favorite Bible because this is the Bible I received when I was saved. Then there's the electronic versions. You can get the Bible on your cell phone. You can get it on your iPad. You can get it on your computer. That's an easy way to take the word with you. It's an easy way to have a reference with you if you get into a discussion. On those same electronic devices, there's daily devotionals. There's hundreds of them out there that will pop up every day and give you a scripture or two, a thought for the day. It's the same thing as the devotionals we have here, the open windows. There's just so many different devotionals you can get that gets you into the Word every day. But I will say that a devotional only gets you so far. It's great, but you need to read a little more than just a devotional. You know, the problem with me standing up here telling you this is that you've heard it before, right? You might be thinking, I've tried that before. I've read the Bible, but frankly, I'm in a rut. I'm a little bored. Well, if that's what you're thinking this morning, you're probably not alone. All across this country, it's hard to get people to pick up their Bibles. And I suggest maybe a different translation or paraphrase. I've told you before, I got 8 different translations that I use consistently. And a paraphrase is one of them. Sometimes it's good to vary your reading. Maybe do it in an evening instead of just a morning or an afternoon. Maybe at lunchtime you switch on the TV set. Maybe that's a good time to leave the TV set off and switch on your Bible. There's Bibles that are arranged to get you through reading the Bible in a year. There's all kinds of reading plans that you can get. Again, you can get it right across your phone to help you read the Bible. There's other ways to get the Bible into your head. Commit to attending worship regularly, Sunday school, small groups. The second thing is how to get it into your heart. And that's a challenge. We can get so familiar with the scripture that no longer impacts us. When somebody says John 3:16, do you really think about what it means or just repeat it? We can get so used to certain scriptures that we just let it pass through. We have to find ways to get the word from our head into our heart. One of the ways I found was to keep a journal, write it down, and then look it up later. I'm going to say the same thing with these scriptures today. They're on your bulletin, the main scriptures that I use. Take them home with you, and sometime this week, look them up. See what they mean. Pray on them. And see what God intended from this message. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How about memorizing scriptures? Could you commit to memorizing one scripture a week? That's not really that hard, is it? May I suggest starting by memorizing scriptures from the Roman road? Those might come in handy. The third thing is to live out God's word with our hands. God gave us the Bible to fill our heads and our hearts, but he wants us to take what he has written and take it a lot farther. I want to be known. I want this church to be known as not only people who honor God's Bible, but also people who live by God's Bible. I want people to know what we know. I want people to see in our lives what we know and understand that there is a love out there so great it can't be contained in the walls of this building. But through our hands, God can do his work. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get into his word and we study it and then we live it. So what's God asking you to do this morning? I believe God's been using his word to get your attention. And that's not just this morning. That's in the last 4 sermons that I've brought. They've all been tied together. Maybe he wants you to stop doing something that you're doing. Maybe he wants you to start doing something special in his name. All I can tell you today is get into his word, get it in your heart, and then don't ignore him. Live out what you know. Live out what he's telling you. He gives it to you for a reason. Max Lucado, he said in one of his books, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. I love that because that's true. God took me when I was all dirty and filthy and cleaned me up. He doesn't want me to stay even today like I am today. God has changes in mind for my life. What are those changes? I don't know. And the only way I'm going to know is through His word and through the revelation that He gives me as I place it in my heart. And when I get that revelation, that inspired word of God, I have to live it out through my hands, through my voice. See, He's in the business of changing lives every day. He uses His word to do that. And He can't change your life every day if you're not in His word every day. You're saved to serve. You're not saved to sit here on these chairs and listen to me talk. I'm just a messenger. I just deliver the words. I'm an encourager. And I want to encourage you to get into His word. We're all being taught here today so we can teach others. We've been given spiritual gifts so we can be part of the army of God. We have to go out. We have to be motivated, mobilized for ministry. We don't do any of the lost any good sitting in here. It's great to hear the message, but until we apply it and move along, the Bible is our best tool to use. Here's another story for you, and this one's true. One night about 60 years ago, a young man was experiencing some doubts about the Bible. So he cried out to God in prayer and said this, "Oh God, I do not understand it all, but I'm willing to believe it and willing to obey it." He's talking about the Bible. That man was Billy Graham. And he later wrote, "I discovered the secret that changed my ministry. I stopped trying to prove that the Bible was true. I had settled in my own mind that it was, and this faith was conveyed to the audience. Over and over again, I found myself saying, 'The Bible says.' I felt as though I was merely a voice through which the Holy Spirit was speaking. I found that the Bible became a flame in my hands. That flame melted away unbelief in the hearts of people and move them to decide for Christ. The word became like a hammer breaking up stony hearts and shaping them into the likeness of God." This comes from a book called Give Me That Book by Robert Coleman. Can I say here, if it's good enough for Billy Graham, it's good enough for us? It'd be better to say, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. I know what I believe about the Bible. I hope you believe the same. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads, just listen a moment. Billy Graham made a discovery. He cried out to God. Billy Graham believed in the Bible. But that moment in time when he cried out to God, I think he came to an understanding. You know, all of us stand at exactly the same spot right now. We can do what Billy Graham did. We can say that we believe the Word of God is true. We can say that even though we don't understand every part of it, we're willing to obey it. I don't understand every part of the Bible. But it's not my job to explain it. It's my job to quote it and to use it to teach and to lead. See, either you believe the Bible is true or you don't. I believe it is. This church believes the Bible is the Word of God, and that's why the Bible has such a high position here. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Awana, youth ministries, our small group studies. That's why we do everything that we do. We've decided that the Bible is the Word of God and we're going to stand upon it. I've said many times that there should be nothing said from this pulpit that can't be taken from the Bible. backed up by the Bible. It's so important that our church constitution says, Article 2, Section 2, under doctrine, the church looks to the scriptures as its authority and guide in all matters of faith and practice. There should never be a decision made at this church without the guidance of God's word. I challenge you today to think about the steps I said. Get the Bible in your head. Study it. Turn it over in your mind and get it in your heart. And once you get it in your heart, obey God. Let His will be done in your life. I pray that you're all expectant. Every time you open the Bible, every time you walk into this building, that you expect a revelation from God, because you should. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this book, this holy Bible that you've given us. Everything we need to know is in this book. Truly, the answer to all life's problems are in this book. Father, I just pray through the Holy Spirit that you will help us as we read. It will become alive to us, Father, as we read and we understand. It enables us to hear you when you speak through actions, voices, things going on around us, Father. I pray for everyone here that they draw closer to you by opening up their Bible and reading and studying. Father, make us all expectant ones. Help us to rejoice every time you speak. Help us just praise you every day as you reveal things. You reveal the truth of your word to us day by day. Father, I pray for this church. I pray that we be obedient, that we be willing to go outside and to change lives, just as Paul did for the Bereans. Father, I ask that you would use us in that same way. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.